There are so many things to see in this passage that we hardly know where to begin, what to start with. But it starts off, Isaiah does, with a shoot growing from the stump of Jesse. The gifts of the Spirit then are mentioned. The peaceable kingdom where predator and prey live side by side, where the lion shall dwell with the lamb, though I have this sense of Woody Allen's interpretation that while they may lie down together, the lamb won't get much sleep. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. Really, Lord? A shoot shall come out from Jesse, because the stump, as far as I can tell, is dead once the tree has been felled. But God said it himself back in the chapters preceding ours. The tallest trees, he said, will be cut down, and the lofty will be brought low. The trees, the people, everything will be as a forest that has been clear cut, leaving nothing but a bunch of stumps behind. And yet, one chapter later, this word of hope comes from the same prophet, from Isaiah himself. A shoot shall come out of that dead stump of Jesse, he says. And the question is, how can this be? How can we go from that kind of hope to watching a tree that it's been felled come back to life? I've seen it in my own yard, the tree guys who've come and cut down the trees in my front yard, and I can tell you that nothing grows out of a dead stump, at least not for years, until a season or two have passed. And then all of a sudden, I noticed in my front yard, a tiny seedling had pushed itself up into the daylight from a crack that it had created in the stump itself. This tiny, vulnerable little green shoot had poked its way up out of a hard, deadened wood stump. A tender shoot no bigger than my little pinky had broken through the stump. Unfortunately for that tiny shoot, I had the stump taken out. But you get the point. Life was coming out of death. There was a man when I lived in Flemington on Bunnell Street, the first house I ever lived in my life in terms of owning. He lived next door to me with his mother, and I got to know him very well over the years. He lived with his mom, who was always old, it seemed to me. It was a house that he had been born into, and when she was in her 90s, after his 70th birthday, she died. And I remember the change that came over him in his demeanor when he would come outside in the morning. I remember he would walk with his head kind of bowed like this, and his shoulders were drooping, it seemed, lower every single day. His whole body seemed to be in a state of mourning, cut off from everyone and everything, as if he was amongst the living dead just walking about. And I felt bad. I would say hello whenever I saw him, and he'd wave his hand, but he wouldn't say anything back. He'd just kind of wave his hand and keep on going until one day, when I was coming out to pick up my newspaper, and before I could say hello, he tipped his hat to me and he said, "Good morning, Rev. Going for the paper, I see." And he walked over me, eager to talk, engage me in conversation. I had no idea what had brought about this sudden change in his demeanor, but perhaps for him, it wasn't sudden at all. Maybe for him, it had been painfully slow, but to me, it appeared sudden, just like that shoot coming out of that dead stump. Suddenly appeared, but you know, for months it probably had been germinating and growing until it had broken its way through. It appeared to me in both cases as if these were tiny little miracles. The passage from Isaiah has always been one of my favorites. It illustrates many of the deepest hopes that I and I know a lot of people hold, the ones where the world will be filled not with pain and suffering and destruction, but with righteousness and with justice. That day when a little child shall lead us up to the holy mountain, because we are ready, finally, finally ready to turn from our damaging ways to the way of the Lord. And during Advent, we declare our bold hopes for the world to this Advent. Go tell it on the mountain, we sing, over the hills and everywhere. Let earth receive her king. And yet after these verses in the beginning of Isaiah, there's nothing that would hold back our enthusiasm. We have proclaimed Isaiah's words, that they have been made manifest in this Christ child that we will celebrate on Christmas morn. The branch has come forth from the stump of Jesse. And those of us who follow this Christ child affirm that this is true. The spirit of wisdom and understanding was upon him, and the power of the Lord rested upon his shoulders. We affirm that he has judged the poor with righteousness, but then we get into the later verses in our chapter, verses 5 and on, the parts about the lion and the lambs and the child-friendly snakes. And there is this chasm that is the size of Texas between these two sets of verses within our same passage. What do we do with this lingering prophecy that has yet to be fulfilled? What kind of time and space gap is lingering in that one solitary break from stanza 4 into stanza 5 and 6? Why is the stump of Jesse taking so long to fill the whole world with the knowledge of God? As I watch Sunday after Sunday, especially this fall, our children come up and sit with Sophie for the children's message, I have an immensely powerful feeling that washes over me every week. It's like a monsoon of both hope and sadness. All of our children so certain that the world ought to be the way that Isaiah describes it. And yet I am so certain that the world isn't that way. Because the chasm between what has been prophesied and what is remains huge to this very day. Here's the hard thing about this text. The little child has already come to us 2,000 years ago and counting, and we have not yet made it to God's holy mountain as a people. The cows are still grazing in the fields, waiting to be processed into cheap beef for our hamburgers. The lamb is still getting shorn to make clothes that will last a few seasons and turned into lamb chops. Children don't come anywhere near a snake's lair because it would be nuts as parents to let them do that. They don't really play outside that much anymore either. Not to mention righteousness and justice. Really, where is it? We are so drunk, I think, on the process of hurting and destroying one another now that we can no longer see past the ends of our military might, our political fighting, I am always right attitude. Death tolls continue to rise. Wars continue to rage on ceaselessly, endlessly. It's profit-making now. Hunger and sickness, we hear about it every single day. It grows larger every year in this county, the number of people coming to the Center for Food Action. It doesn't get smaller. It doesn't diminish. And if this little child truly has come and shall lead us, did we simply not follow him? Did we miss our chance? Did we get lost along the parade route somehow on Palm Sunday and never realize that the party had broken up and that the ways of the world really are far more powerful than the ways of the Lord? 'Tis the season to dream big, dreams and hopes, big ones. But the question remains, why is the earth not yet filled with the knowledge of the Lord after 8,000 years of testimony by prophets, by the laws, by Jesus himself? A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse. That's the promise. Fragile, tiny, tenacious, and stubborn, just like the weeds that emerge in the cracks in the cement outside. Look to the weeds. Look to the weeds. Seems they found a secret to breaking through all of our man-made hardness. They found a way to find the sunshine and the hope for life. I've seen it in an old stump in my front yard. I've seen it in the face of an old man who seemed lost to having hope ever again, having joy ever again. I've seen these small yet amazing miracles. And I have to go back and consciously be reminded of those things because they seem in so many ways insignificant in the face of so much that's bigger than this. But they are, in fact, the signs of hope, of Advent. They are the sign of what Christ is coming into the world to do. He came during one of the worst times in human life and human history. They all had to go to Jerusalem to be taxed. They couldn't even stay in an inn because there was no room. They had to stay in a cave. Soon after, they decided, well, the government said, you know, we ought to get rid of anybody who's a threat to us, so we'll kill all the 2-year-old boys. Our Messiah had to flee to Egypt with his mom and dad. He He had to come back in as an outsider into his own country. He had to prophesy his first Sunday in his hometown church of Nazareth, and they wanted to throw him off a cliff. Why should we be surprised that it's any different today? I guess I shouldn't be so surprised, and yet I always am. So the real question is, what if we believed, really believed, in this fragile sign of God's beginning in the midst of all of our endings? Perhaps we would attend to this tiny seedling rather than having it removed with the old dead stump. Maybe, just maybe, God is still trying to break through the deadness within our hearts. And just maybe God is inviting us to move beyond counting the rings of the past that define what was, so we can see what can be. We may only see that old stump, and sometimes we just want to sit on it too, kind of take a load off. God will sit there for a while, but not forever. God's on the move, always has been, always on the move. But God is going to keep pushing us, nudging us gently. It doesn't seem like God's going to hit us over the head or cause any major upset in life, so to speak, for all of us to experience God in one way that we all go, that's God's sign. No, it seems to me God allows us the freedom to be who we are and what we want to be. But nonetheless, he keeps judging us with signs that spring is coming after winter, that life is coming after death. Look upon the old dead stump, Stephen. Look on it. You see nothing but dead gray wood. But someday, beyond your control or power to make it so, something will break forth through it, says the prophet Isaiah. Something will spring to life. It will be tiny. It will be green. It will bring life and hope, but it will be fragile. It will not last without our care and keeping. There is a role that we have to play in this. And if the world isn't the way that God had intended it, then we have nobody to really blame but ourselves. And we must ask ourselves, what is it that we're doing that says we believe in this vision of a new kingdom where the lion and the lamb will lie peacefully together? What does that mean for us today? Do we see the green shoot that is starting to grow, or do we just remove the stump? What are you, what am I going to help and do to make this little shoot grow into a mature, full-grown, powerful tree that can then once again withstand the forces that we put upon it? That's my question for us through Advent. I hope the Lord continues to come, but I have to say it's hard to see it sometimes. Amen.
When blossoms flowered mid the snows upon a winter night, was born the child, the Christmas rose, the King of love and light. Let angels sing, the shepherds sang, the Christmas rose, it's King of love and light.
Let
Christ for